Radio.
This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Feline friends, welcome to Catitude. I'm your show host, Michelle Byrne. I have a very special guest today. We actually talked about her on a prior show, but I reached out to her and I'm so glad she was available to come on Catitude. She has done so much for felines and she has such an interesting background. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I'd like to welcome Vanessa Morgan. She is an author. She is a screenwriter. She runs a website called Traveling Cats. She's done a lot for the cat world. Welcome, Vanessa. Welcome to Catitude.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you. This is interesting that you're on the show, and I'm so glad you're on the show because we featured your book on a previous episode of Catitude. The title was Cats in Horror, Sci-Fi, and Fantasy Movies. And my guest was Christopher Robinson. And it was very, very interesting book. And I guess he got in touch with you and you reached out. And ta-da, you're on Catitude to talk about yourself.
Thank you.
So it's very exciting to have you. Can you share a little bit about your background for our listeners?
I think first and foremost, I'm really a writer, publisher. I think the main things I'm doing is I'm writing about cats and about horror movies. And sometimes the two combine, not always, but it's always cats or horror.
I've been doing Catitude since 2017. So what is that? About close to 8 years. And it's kind of a thing, cats and horror movies. Not, you know, all the time, but it is a thing. You don't hear as much with dogs in horror movies. Wolves, you know, they're more like wolves, dogs. They're not like regular dogs. So, but cats, all kinds of cats in horror movies. Why is that?
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree that there aren't any horror movies with dogs because that will actually be my next book.
There
are quite a lot of them also. But cats and horror, that's indeed a thing as well. And a lot of it goes back to really like medieval times and even from way before when the cats were associated with witchcraft, with the plague and everything. And also just because even way before that, when there wasn't that much knowledge, cats were really, they seemed a little bit scary to some people because they prowled at night and they had some scary eyes at night and everything. And that led to quite a lot of superstition, actually. And that really aggravated during the times of witchcraft, in which they said that black cats in particular were witches' familiars. And then, unfortunately, a lot of these cats were executed back then. And that was really even worse when the plague started. And that they, even more cats got executed for that reason as well. And that kind of started it all, like to combine cats with horror and witchcraft. So what really changed everything was when Edgar Allan Poe published his short story, The Black Cat.
There you go.
When that became public domain, a lot of movies started to get made not only based on that film, but sometimes they were just like using the word a black cat in the title just to cash in on the popularity of the writer, and sometimes just like putting a black cat in there and combining it with horror or with a mystery element. And that kind of started the whole idea that cats had somehow a link to horror, to the mysterious.
I think you're right. And we've done a lot of shows on Catitude about black cats because there's a lot of stigma around them. And that's another rabbit hole. So that would be a whole show just on itself. But I think also people don't understand cats. They're not as easy to read as, say, a dog is. And I know dogs can be scary. That's for sure.
Also, yeah.
Make them scary in your next book. But cats, you know, they're stoic creatures. They're not as easy to read, not as easy to understand. And they're mystical. And they've been very much hyped up in the world of mystique, even in TV shows, that are not scary with talking cats and everything. So, yeah, that's, I think, a good enough explanation of why there's so many cats in horror movies.
Yeah, but at the same time, what I also think is interesting when you have a look at all the movies that are being discussed in my book, Meow, Cats in Horror, is that a lot of the times the cats in these movies aren't really the bad guys. They're actually more of like the hero who are helping out, like catching the real bad guys, the humans who are doing bad stuff. And of course, yeah, there are a couple of films where the cats are bad, but they're kind of like a minority.
Yep, I could see that. What led you to love horror movies? Because we're kind of opposite in this. I cannot watch a horror movie because I appreciate them, but I can't sleep.
Yeah, I get that. I hear that a lot from a lot of people.
But you not only love them, you write them. So where does this love of horror movies come from, do you think?
I think it's really, for me, that it's a way unconsciously to like maybe process my own fears. Because when I was like a child, I was really afraid of so many things. It was really exaggerated. And my philosophy is that these horror movies and the scary stories, especially the ones where the horror doesn't seem real at all, where everything is exaggerated, that it kind of helped me to process these fears. But on the other hand, I really have a hard time watching the news, for example, because that is real horror. And for me, that's a lot more difficult to process than horror movies, which are just like, yeah, something fun and it's not real.
You hit on something very true. Watching the news these days, especially, we're based in the U.S., we are grateful that you're able to do the show because it's later in the afternoon here. You're in Belgium and we're not going to talk politics, but I've had shows with people outside the country, not since current politics. And I can't even imagine what people outside this country think of the U.S. But yes, watching the news these days is scary.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. I also think that this is one of the reasons I think maybe that we love pets so much, because they really remind us of all the good things in life.
Very true. And they are non-judgmental. They have unconditional love for us. And we're going to take a short break. We're going to come back and talk about your amazing book. It's such a beautiful testament, such a beautiful memoir, your book Avalon. So we'll be right back.
As your dog or cat chewed through yet another set of sheets?
I get it. I've been there. But instead of replacing them with more scratchy, low-quality bedding, why not treat yourself to what Oprah and Kris Jenner sleep on every night? It's called Cozy Earth, and yes, it's as dreamy as it sounds. Their bamboo sheets and pajamas are buttery soft, cooling, moisture-wicking, and they actually get softer every time you wash them. I'm talking next-level snuggle mode here, folks. These sheets have been on Oprah's Favorite Things list 7 years in a row, and there's a reason why. Cozy Earth gives you the softest, coolest sleep of your life. And just for Pet Life Radio listeners, I scored you an exclusive 41% off. That's the biggest discount they offer anywhere. Just use promo code PETLIFERADIO at CozyEarth.com and sleep like the celebrity your pet already thinks you are. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code PETLIFERADIO. You'll thank me at bedtime.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking to Vanessa Morgan, and she is an author. She runs a website called Traveling Cats. She wrote a memoir for her cat, Avalon, and she writes thrillers. So tell us about Avalon, which was a beautiful book.
Yes, Avalon was my real-life cat and my first cat. And of course, as we all know, our first cats, yeah, we love them with the idea that they're going to live forever, because I got them when I was quite young. And then, yeah, when you're young, you always have the impression that your entire life is in front of you, that the cat's life is going to last for decades and decades and decades. And so I got attached really fast to that cat, and with a lot of passion. So yeah, when he passed away, it was really an entire process of grieving, because it was kind of my first loss as well in life. And at the same time, yeah, I wrote about this loss and everything that the cat meant to me in his memoir, Avalon. So that was the name of the cat. And it was a book that I wrote just after he passed away. So I just wanted to do something to commemorate that cat and to do something like, yeah, that I could remember him by. And it kind of like, even though it has a lot of funny moments, I think, because my cat was also a horror movie star and he was really quite a character, both on sets and at home. It was almost too intelligent for a cat. But at the same time, it became, yeah, really like a very, very personal and honest story, because I realized that my attachment to that cat wasn't the usual attachment. Like many other people, they didn't have the same love for their cat, or maybe they did, but they didn't want to express it, because I think there's still kind of a taboo around that people, yeah, you can say you love your cat, but you're not allowed to say that you love a cat more than a human being, for example. And that certainly wasn't my case, because I loved my cat Avalon more than anything else. And it was also because I had, like, at that point, I think I've grown a lot since then, but at that point, I really had a lot of difficult relationships with the people in my life. I had a difficult relationship with my family. And all of that led to me being very attached to this cat, who gave me for the first time in my life this unconditional love, which was something that I'd never experienced before. So yeah, it really became a very, very personal story. And I remember that when I wrote it, I was like, even though I did it to commemorate the cats, I was really thinking like, I hope no one will ever read this story, because, you know, I'm so vulnerable in this, and I share things in it that, yeah, I never dared share with anyone else before.
That's what makes it lovely. And it was probably, I mean, you probably have thought about it, that it was somewhat cathartic in a sense in writing it.
And not immediately. I think it was one of the hardest things I've ever done, because it really forced me to be, yeah, to be honest about a lot of things that I was suppressing. Like the feeling that I wasn't good enough, for example, stuff like that, or that I didn't feel loved, that I wasn't like lucky in life, all these things. Those were feelings that I didn't dare sharing them with other people. It was kind of like my secret. And yeah, writing about my cat Avalon really forced me to do that. But it was much later that it really helped me to deal with these emotions as well. But I think writing it was super hard, because you're kind of like reliving all those moments as well. And because my cat just passed away, it kind of made it hard as well, because I was only be able to process the grief once I stopped writing the book, once the book was finished.
And it never goes away, the grief. Never.
That's true.
Never
fight yeah, away. We continue to love them like forever. It's been now more than 10 years since he's gone, Avalon. And yeah, I still love him. It doesn't change.
Let me ask you this. Avalon was a rare breed, a Turkish van cat, which is very rare. And you found him.
Yes, that was such a weird story also, because...
Before you tell the story, I have this question. Do you think that it was more than a chance situation or a coincidence Do you think
that looks like it, doesn't it?
He was meant to be there for you to find so you could go through this period with him?
Maybe, maybe. Yeah, that's very possible. It's always hard to tell, of course, because we never have proof for these kinds of theories. But yeah, the story is so weird that, yeah, it's always a possibility, of course.
What's so rare about the breed and what's so unusual that you just happen to find him, if you can share that?
But like you said, the breed is really rare. And back then, even before I met Avalon, I was always telling my boyfriend back then that I really wanted to have a Turkish Van cat one day. And I thought about adopting one. And I was looking for a breeder, but they just didn't exist in my country. And they were super hard to find. And I went to trade shows and everything. I just couldn't find a Turkish Van cat. But for me, they were really, I was really like, it was hard to say why, because usually I'm all for adopting shelter cats. That's what I'm always aiming towards. I'm always telling people, no, don't go for a breed. You have to go to a shelter. But I was really, really attached to that idea of a Turkish Van cat. I couldn't say why, but for me, it was a thing like, there's something about it. I want to have a Turkish Van cat one day. But I just couldn't find it. And then one evening, I was coming back from a horror film festival, which is also one of my main passions. It's going to film festivals and horror film festivals. And it was an evening that I saw the movie Avalon, which is like a Polish-Japanese movie. And that evening, just before I got home, we parked the car in our street and we got out of the car and Avalon, my cat, was sitting right there, was coming towards me. And I was thinking like, I can't believe my eyes. This looks really like a Turkish Van cat. It's exactly the same cat. I've never seen him in the neighborhood. And the cat, it was almost like he recognized me when he saw me. And he followed me home, which I also thought was weird, because when does a cat follow you home? And I was thinking like, okay, maybe he's lost, or yeah, he can't find his family anymore. But yeah, the cat just, he wanted to come home with me. He wanted to stay inside if I was trying to let him in the street. And then, yeah, for a few days I was keeping him, but at the same time looking for who could have lost him, if there were any messages online or in the street, but I couldn't find anything. And so, yeah, little by little, this Turkish Van cat became my cat.
In the book, you describe some of his antics. And I want people to read the book, so I won't go into too much detail. But, I mean, he did some crazy things.
That's the least you can see.
I have three cats right now, and they all have their special craziness. But, like, you would vomit on your guinea pig's head. Like, one of the things before I got cats is I was always concerned they would be jumpers and jump and knock over things. And I had that, you know, a little bit of that anxiety prior to having cats, because I didn't have cats as a child. We had dogs. Dennis was my first cat, and none of them are jumpers. None of them are flyers. But Avalon, like, flew all over the place.
Yes. But also think he had too much energy, and he was definitely a neurotic cat. He was very jealous, very neurotic. I really think like if there could be like something like a cat shrink or something.
Oh boy.
That would have been really good for him. I never went to see one, but honestly, I think he had a few issues. And that combined with like having too much energy, the psychological problems, he was all over the place. And especially, he was so extremely jealous of people and other animals. It was crazy. And again, that combined with his super intelligence, just to give an example, it's also an example that I describe in the book. And I really think it describes well, like, how intelligent he was. At a certain point, I was dating someone and the cat just didn't agree. So what did he do when all is meowing and trying to do the usual antics to show him that the guy wasn't welcome in our home? He just took his jacket, dragged it toward the front door, and then he started tapping the keys with his paws. Really like to say, get out of here. And honestly, the message was clear.
That's incredible.
I've never heard of a cat or even a dog doing things like that.
Maybe a dog, maybe that would be a stretch. A cat, get it. I mean, my cats, they don't want to be bothered. That's too much trouble. They would just pick their paw up and just swipe or something.
Yeah.
The person, but he was brilliant. Tell us about your current cats. You have two right now, right?
Unfortunately, my second cat passed away very recently.
Yeah,
she was a little black cat and she was more than 20 years old. So yeah, she just got a bit too old and she passed away really suddenly a few months ago. So now I have just one other cat who is a previous shelter cat, a rescue cat, and his name is Fekna, and he's a ginger. And he's definitely not as intelligent as Avalon, that's for sure. He's absolutely adorable.
And how did you come about creating your website, Traveling Cats? And before I say that, I'm so sorry about the loss of your cat. It doesn't aid your and Avalon, but I know that's been a while, but you're recent. That's even...
Yeah.
So I'm sorry for your loss. Your website, Traveling Cats, why did you create it and what's it about?
Traveling Cats is like a travel blog, but for cat lovers. So I talk about cat-centric destinations, cat cafes, and at the same time also talk a lot about how to help stray cats when you're abroad, like in Greece, because in quite a lot of countries, a lot of the stray cats really need help. And the way tourists react, which are sometimes natural responses such as feeding the cats in restaurants and everything, can sometimes do a lot more harm than good. But the basic idea for the website is just have something fun. And it's and really about mixing the beauty of cats with the beauty of some destinations. And it really started like a long time ago as of just a photo blog, actually. It was before Instagram when I started this. And so it was a little bit similar where I just posted the photos, but not really articles. But now it's really become like a real travel website, where I really have in-depth articles, so it changed a lot over the years. But yeah, for me, when I started it, at a certain point, I was going through some of my travel photos back then, and I was thinking like, I have actually more photos of cats than of the destination itself.
Wow.
And that kind of like gave me the idea, like maybe I could just share them online. And because I thought they were so cute, all these photos. And I thought it can be really fun to share them with people. And that's how it started.
They're great pictures. Which country do you think is the most obsessed about cats? And I know that in Greece, there's an island just for cats. And I have had someone on Catitude that runs a shelter in Greece, which was exciting. So
yes,
I think it's probably Greece, but Traveling Cats is your creation. So you probably know a lot more. What country do you think is more obsessed or cat-centric, I should say?
Well, I would definitely not say Greece.
See what
not at all even. Because it's true that in Greece there are a lot of cats, but they're almost all strays. Spaying neutering is still not an option there. But little by little it's starting to change and more people are doing it. But in Greece, in fact, cats are still very much seen as vermin.
Thank you for correcting me, because I'm way off. So what country is best about their cats that you think?
Well, recently there has been a study about it. And it seems that the country that is best for their cats, that it's Belgium, where I'm coming from.
Oh.
And I was surprised and not surprised at the same time, because when I think about it, Belgium is also the country with the most cat cafes per square kilometer. It's a super tiny country here, but we have no less than 19 cat cafes.
That's a lot.
That's a lot, indeed.
Right.
And it's true that here there's a lot of laws in place to protect the cats. Spaying and neutering is normal. We are pampering our cats. And it's true that a lot of people here have cats as well. So yeah, for that reason, I'm not surprised. But on the other hand, yeah, it's true that countries like Greece, if you want to see a lot of cats in one place, then you have to go to Greece because cats are everywhere. But at the same time, these are not happy cats.
Now that I'm remembering my show from Greece, I think we had a lot of talk about that. I don't know why that came to mind, but I'm glad we talked about that. So who knew that Belgium, besides being known for chocolate and a beautiful country, you're also very cat forward and cat friendly?
Yes.
I know it's not the US because we have such a ways to go. There's too many cats that are euthanized in this country. We're doing better, but we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Vanessa, where can people find out more about you? And what is the URL for your Traveling Cats site? And where can they find out about your books and what your upcoming book is going to be about? For those that are listening, we're Catitude, but there might be some people listening that have dogs, or maybe they love cats. They want to see a dog in a horror book for a change. So where can people find out more about your sites, your site Traveling Cats, and about you and what you've done?
So my site Traveling Cats is really like traveling-cats.com. And there you can also find my social media that are related to Traveling Cats. So I'm a bit everywhere. I'm on X, on Facebook, on Blue Sky. Especially on Facebook, we have a Traveling Cats group where everyone can post their own travel photos of cats, but also ask for help regarding strays they found in other countries, for example. So definitely go ahead and subscribe to the Facebook group of Traveling Cats and post your own pictures. Also retweet pictures if you tag me on X or on Blue Sky, for example. I'm a little bit on YouTube as well, not as much, and on Instagram, of course, also with Traveling Cats. And on the other hand, if you want to know more about my books, I also have my personal social media, which is either Vanessa Morgan or Eerie Stories on a lot of these accounts. But be careful because there are two Vanessa Morgans. Apparently, there's also Vanessa Morgan, who is an actress, and that's not me.
I did do some Googling and looking around, and I did find another Vanessa Morgan.
Yes, but if I think if you type something like Vanessa Morgan cats, or if you don't see any cats on our social media, then it's not me.
Right. Well, wonderful information. Wonderful to talk to you. What can we look forward to coming from you next?
Well, my next book will be about dogs in horror, sci-fi and fantasy movies. And there are a lot of movies as well with dogs in them. And apart from that, I'm also working very hard on Traveling Cats for the moment to get more articles ready, to visit more destinations and to really spread the word about how to help stray cats when you're abroad. Because I really think that spreading the right information about it is really important.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on Catitude.
Thank you so much.
I hope you all enjoyed this show, this episode of Catitude with Vanessa Morgan. I loved having her on the show. Thank you, Vanessa, for coming on Catitude. Thanks to my cat crew, Dennis, my first cat who taught me all about cats, Molly and Charlotte. And of course, thank you for listening to Catitude. I greatly appreciate it. And the show would not be the same without the magic of my producer, Mark Winter. And hey, remember, lose the attitude, have catitude.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.